Today I want to preach on when you should fast. When you should fast. You see, fasting, or the word fast, is found in the Bible 75 times. Fasting is tying a ribbon around your finger to remember God. Fasting is making space for God in your busy life. When you fast, you are in a small way walking with those who suffer from hunger. Every 24 hours that goes by, 40,000 children die of starvation in the world. And when you fast, you enter in a small way into the world that 40,000 people will perish from because they don't have anything to eat. Fasting, I believe, is really stepping into the heart of God that grieves for hurting, broken humanity that He loves and He created. Fasting embraces emptiness. It is a form of withdrawing from normal life and the regular world that we live in. Every now and then we need to interrupt our lives and make space for God. It's emptying out ourselves, not just to food, but I encourage you to limit entertainment, limit media, limit internet usage, limit movies, limit any form of entertainment, because listen, these things contaminate a fast. When you sit in front of a TV hour after hour after hour and watch TV or the internet or go to movies and just carry on normal life, it contaminates your fast. Fasting is about pulling yourself away from the normality of life and saying, God, I'm making space for you. So as much as you can, I'm not saying you have to completely not watch TV and all that. I'm not saying that, but I am saying limit that in your life and spend more time in spiritual things such as the Word of God and feeding your spirit. It's creating an empty space for God to fill when you are fasting. You see, I believe that fasting is body talk. Fasting is body language to God. When we fast, we are expressing our heart hunger for Jesus. So fasting is body language and body talk to God that expresses how serious we are about wanting Him in our life. Now, it's so important to understand that not everyone who fasts with the right motive. And the Bible warns about fasting with the wrong motive. For example, the Bible says in 1 Kings 21:9 that there was a woman by the name of Jezebel who proclaimed a fast. You know what she fasted for? She proclaimed a fast that Naboth would die and she would get his land to give to her husband. Now, isn't that a crazy thing to fast for? She fasted and had him killed after she fasted so her husband could obtain his piece of property. In other words, she was fasting for selfish gain. When you fast for selfish gain, when you fast for the manipulation of other people, when you fast and say, I'm doing this so God will do this, you don't give God ultimatums on a fast. Fasting isn't about you getting God to do what you want Him to do. It's about getting God to do what He wants to do in every circumstance in your life. And you have to have the right motive. Secondly, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told the story of the tax collector who came and the Pharisee who came, and they both wanted eternal life. And the scripture said that the Pharisee said to Jesus, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all my income. And the poor sinner tax collector said, Lord, I am a sinner. Be merciful upon me. And the scripture said that the man who came in humility left forgiven, but he said the Pharisee needs to be rebuked. In other words, the man was fasting, but he was fasting without humility. The Bible said, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. But if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Fasting is humbling yourself so God can promote and exalt you. And He will do it every time when you do it with the right motive. The tax collector got the blessing, and the Pharisee was rejected by Jesus. I want to ask you something. Do you need God's protection on your children? Do you need the salvation of your family? Do you need wisdom and favor and healing? Do you need freedom from demonic oppression? Do you need help with an overwhelming problem? Have you failed in the past and you don't want to fail in the future? You want to succeed? Are you dealing with unhealthy habits that are destroying your life and your health? Are you facing circumstances that feel too big for you? Then it's time for you to fast. Fasting is not just about keeping ourselves from food. It's about gaining rewards. You see, the Bible promises rewards to people who fast. The reward is the solution that you seek. The reward is the provision that you need. The reward is the healing and the deliverance that you so desire. And the Bible says that every time people fasted in the Bible, God rewarded their fast with what they were scripturally asking for. If the motive is right, if the heart is right, and you're fasting for biblical purposes, God rewards fasting every time. You see, in Ezra, the Bible said that they fasted for the protection of their children and for their possessions and for divine direction. And the scripture said that God gave them what they fasted for. Now I want you to listen to me. When you focus on the reward of fasting, it helps you not focus on the hunger of fasting. So get a reward. Figure out why you're fasting. Fast for a specific desire and write it down and list the things that you're fasting about. And it'll help you focus on that instead of how hungry you are. If you're fasting, expect the reward for your fasting. Secret seeking brings open reward. Now, Isaiah 58 begins to list the rewards that come in the life of the faster. Verse 6 of Isaiah 58 says, number one, that when you fast, he says, this is the fast that I have chosen. And he says, it will loose the bands of wickedness. Bands are things that hold you back. Bands are things that stop you from advancing. Have you ever felt like something was holding you back? Like you just couldn't go any further. You'd get so far in the dream and in the success and in the blessing, and it's like you can't break further into what you know God has for you. Well, when you fast, it breaks you free from everything that's holding you back, and it allows you to advance in what God has for your life. And then he said, not only will it break the bands of wickedness, it will release you from what's holding you, but he says in the next part of that verse, it will undo the heavy burdens. So many people are heavily burdened. So many people are down and discouraged. But he said, when you fast, it will undo. And the word undo means to tear off. And the literal Hebrew meaning is to violently pull them off. God says, when you fast, I will violently pull the heavy burdens off of you. The things that have just been pressing you down and depressing you and making you feel hopeless and helpless, as you fast, you will shake them loose forever in Jesus' name. And then he said, this is the fast that will cause the oppressed. The next thing he says, the oppressed will go free. The oppressed means the discouraged. It means the bruised and the wounded. So many walking wounded all around us. And he said, the word picture of the word oppression is one of a vase that is cracking up. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to set people free and lift people and heal people who are cracking up. People who are oppressed of the devil. People who are falling apart. Their marriage is cracking up. Their life is cracking up. He says, I'm going to put you back together. And the first day you start fasting, he starts mending you. He starts the process of healing, of putting your life back together. And he is able to do it because he said, this is one of the rewards of fasting. And then the next thing he says, it will break every yoke. A yoke is a bondage. A yoke is a bad habit. A yoke is something that is destroying you physically. He said, I can break the bad habits if you'll come to me and fast about it. You got bad habits that are keeping you in bondage, hindering your health, shortening your life, destroying your Christian witness. You can have a breakthrough in those areas through fasting. You don't have to be addicted to alcohol. You don't have to be addicted to nicotine. You don't have to be addicted to pornography. You don't have to live that life of being under a yoke and in bad habits the rest of your life. If you will fast about it, God says, I will break that yoke off of your neck. Somebody give God praise. It's happening even as I'm speaking. Come on and praise Him for freedom. Come on and praise Him, because there's no yoke that Satan has put on you or your family that's going to be on it 21 days from now. In Jesus' name. I'm so tired of bound up Christians, bound up just as much as the world, just as addicted as the world. It's time to be free. It's time to get free. The next thing he said, you will give bread to the hungry. You know, have you ever sat and watched? And that is a reward, to get to feed the hungry. You know, have you ever sat and watched some of these TV shows and seen the starving children and said to yourself, I wish I had some money, I would do that. Well, you're going to have some money because you're not going to spend it on food. So now you can do that. And then the next reward, he said, is your light will break forth in the morning as the morning sun if you seek me in fasting. When you read the Bible, something's going to dawn on you. You got problems that are perplexing you. He said, my light of revelation is going to shine. You don't know what to do with your life. You don't know what college to go to. You don't know what direction to take. You don't know if you should marry that person. You don't know which way to go, what career to go after. Should you apply for this? He said, I'll give you revelation. My light will shine on you. I'll give you God-sent ideas. I will communicate my will and my direction for your life when you fast and when you pray. The next thing he said, everybody say, my health will spring forth. The next thing he said is righteousness will go before you and the glory of God will be your rear guard. When you fast, he says two things. I'll be a shield of protection that it guards you from frontal attacks, and I'll be the rear guard that stops anything from your past touching you and catching up with you and defeating you in your present. He said, I'll do this for the faster. And then he says, and you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. I will say, here I am. See, when you fast, it does something to your prayers that causes quick answers, fast answers, lightning speed answers to come. And he said, your light will rise out of obscurity, and your darkness will be as the noonday. What does that mean? It means you're going to become successful. When you fast, he says, I'll raise you out of obscurity. I'll raise you out of hiding. I'll raise you out of defeat and failure, and you will have success. Success will shine on your life. You will no longer walk in that darkness. It's going to be broken off of your life. And then the next thing he says, the reward, he said, and the Lord shall guide you continually. He said, you won't have to ask people what to do. You won't have to wonder what to do. He didn't say, I'll guide you some of the time. He said, I, God, will guide you continually if you will fast and pray. Your steps this year will be ordered of the Lord. And then he said, I'll satisfy your soul in drought. I'll make your bones fat. You'll be like a watered garden. You'll be like a spring of water whose waters fail not. What is that talking about? That's talking about our economic condition. Fasting helps us not to live from paycheck to paycheck, but from promise to promise. It does not matter what the economic conditions of the world are. When you fast, your needs are going to be supplied. No matter what the situation is, no matter what ABC, CBS, NBC, and woe is me is saying about depression and unemployment and all that junk, I'm telling you that when you fast, God says, I will meet your needs. You'll have a water garden. And listen to what he said. The water won't fail. The resources that I send will not stop. They will not dry up. They will not quit. You're going to have a flow of finances as you seek me in fasting and prayer. God is going to provide for you. Quit worrying and start fasting. Give him a big shout of praise if you believe he's going to make a way. Then he says this. He says, if you fast, I'll use you to build the old waste places, and they'll become paths to dwell in. I'll use you to turn wastelands into fruitful orchards. I'll use you to take those lives that have been desolate and broken and destroyed by drugs and alcohol and illicit sex, and you'll turn them into fruitful orchards. They're wastelands, marriages and homes and families that are wastelands. I can restore the relationship. I'll turn it into a fruitful garden. I've got a preacher friend who started a church in a bar many years ago. He started his church in a bar. He didn't have any money, and he found out this. They had a little area where the people would dance and stuff, and it was enough room that he could have a little pulpit where the band would play, and he could let his little congregation sit where the people danced. And they would have the club open every night of the week, 7 nights a week, but they didn't use it on Sunday morning because everybody was hungover. So he started renting it from the owner of that building for Sunday morning service. And he'd go in and set up, and he was turning that old wasteland into a fruitful orchard. And people started getting saved, and people started getting saved, and the bar started having problems. They went bankrupt. The bar went bankrupt, and the preacher bought the building. That's what God can do with your marriage. That's what God can do with your family. That's what God can do with anybody in your family that is a wasteland right now. God says, don't give up on them. Fast for them. Fast for them. Fast for them. Fast for them. Now, I want to quickly give you 5 ways to supercharge your fast. Nehemiah 9, verses 1 through 3 gives 5 ways to supercharge your fast. He says in that first verse, now the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. Everybody say assembled. The first way you supercharge your fast is you gather together with other believers. The way you supercharge your fast, get in a small group, get in prayer meeting, get around other people who are fasting, because they will encourage you when you have a Big Mac attack. They will keep you going, saying, no, 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 don't do that. You need we need a buddy system almost. You know, if you get weak, just call somebody up and say, I'm seeing visions of French fries and I need healing. Pray for me. And you laugh, but you won't be laughing around 6 o'clock tonight. I know. Assemble. Turn to somebody and say, we need to gather together. Secondly, the Bible says that they separated themselves from the strangers. Now get it. They've assembled and they've called a fast. The next thing they do is they separate themselves from strangers. What is that about? Strangers meant non-believing influences. You know, you have to... A time to fast is a time to separate yourself. That's why I kind of hit it right off about not just fasting food, but fast with your time. Fast away from that computer and those emails and talking back and forth to your friends. And fast from that music that you normally listen. Fast and from hours and hours of TV. Fast from going to movies and entertainment. This is not a time to be happy and clappy. It's a time to separate yourself. To go in a mode of this is God's time in my life. And I'll spend it in the Word. And I'm coming after you. And I'm serious about this, God. I'm serious about this. And I'm going to seek you with all of my heart. And so you separate. separate yourself. You deliberately withhold yourself from certain things that you enjoy doing during the fast. You see, your spirit is especially open during a fast. And that means it's open to godly things and ungodly things. And if you allow ungodly things in while you're fasting, it can contaminate your fast. So be very careful what you listen to and you look at. You'll be very sensitive. Listen to the Spirit. And then the next thing that they did to supercharge their fast was they confessed their sins. Notice that. They stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. As you're fasting, just repent. As you're fasting, God will begin to bring up things in your life, compromises, things you've said, attitudes, actions, people that you've treated wrong. As you fast, confess those sins. God, I repent. God, He said in 1 John 9:1-9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all iniquity. So let that happen in your life. And then the next thing he did to supercharge the fast was they spent extra time in God's Word. Notice what it says. They stood in the place and they read from the book of the law 1/4 of the day. They just stood, and as they were fasting, they were gathered together, they were separated, they had confessed their sins, and then they started getting into this book. So if you want to supercharge you fast, read this book. Read this book. Even if you don't understand it, read it. Even if you don't know what it's talking about, read it. Because something's happening when you're reading this book. It's supercharging your prayers and your spirit and your fast. And then the next thing they did was they said their confessions, the scripture said. Now this is different from confessing of sins. It's the confessing of the Word of God. In other words, you confess the promises. While you're fasting, speak the Word of God over your family. Speak the Word of God over your health. By His stripes I am healed. My family shall serve the Lord. Me and my house shall be saved. Speak the Word of God over your finances. My God shall supply. There's something about doing that that supercharges your fast. And then lastly, notice what it says. And they worshiped. So worship is critical during a fast. Worship supercharges your fast. Get CD worships and get CDs of preaching and of tapes and of messages and feed your spirit on the Word of God. Don't just go some after God. Give Him 21 days of feeding on the Word of God and worship at Him. And when you come in here, don't you wait on anybody to sing your favorite song. You need to be passionate about worship while you're fasting. It supercharges your fast. Can you say amen, somebody? Can I conclude with this? Am I giving you too much? When should you fast? I want to give you this in closing. When should you fast? Number one, you should fast when you're facing a mammoth task. When it's something too big for you to handle by yourself. Nehemiah fasted before he rebuilt the walls because he knew it was such a mammoth task, a huge responsibility. I can't do it. Then he fasted and God gave him supernatural ability to do it in 52 days. So I say to you today that when you're moving across the country, that's a mammoth task. You should fast. When you're starting a new business, when you're starting a new ministry or a new career, you should fast. When you're adopting a child, you should fast about it. A mammoth undertaking, you should fast about it. Secondly, you should fast when you face physical danger. The Bible said that Esther fasted and the people fasted for 3 days when they were about to be wiped off of the face of the earth. Esther called a fast. Or Mordecai called a fast for 3 days. Fast in the face of danger. The Bible said in Ezra 8:21 that they fasted for a safe journey. So when should you fast? When you're facing surgery. When you're facing some situation that's fearful and physically dangerous. You should fast about it. Or when you are going on a trip somewhere that is dangerous. You should fast about it. Or when you have a son or a daughter in the military in harm's way in Iraq or Afghanistan, you should fast for them. God will honor it if you you will fast in the time of physical danger, He will rescue you. And then the third thing, when the enemy attacks us, 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat was surrounded by his enemies. Is anybody under an attack by the enemy, by Satan? You sense he's just coming at me everywhere I turn. Every angle I turn, it just seems like I'm under attack. That's the time to fast. Jehoshaphat said like this, "Lord, we know not what to do." When you don't know what to do, fast. And then the fourth time you should fast is when you're appalled at society, when you're repulsed at the condition of the culture that you're living in. God was going to put judgment on Nineveh, and the Bible said in Jonah 3 that he fasted, and the scripture said that God changed his mind. Did you know you can change God's mind about judging somebody? If there's somebody in your family that's violated God's word and you sense judgment is upon their life, you can fast. And God will change his mind. So you can fast for other people, even if they aren't open to what you know is right. If you will fast, God will deal with them. Give God praise if you believe it.
Set the tone for your entire year and get ready for supernatural opportunities when you join Jensen Franklin and the Fasting Movement. Fasting yields miracles of healing, anointing, eternal rewards, and greater intimacy with God. Call or go online now and join the Fasting Movement. And with your best ministry gift this month, we'll send you Why We Need Revival, a brand new teaching complete with study guide to help you understand what true revival is and how to experience personal revival in your own life. Or for your gift of $35 or more, you can request Jensen Franklin's special limited release fasting book with companion DVD, along with the Why We Need Revival CD and study guide. When you join the Fasting Movement, we'll also include a free download of Jensen Franklin's Connection newsletter, complete with articles, quick tips, and faith-building testimonies to help you stay strong during the fast. Don't settle for another year with business as usual. You can transform your year into one of personal revival when you dedicate to God through the New Year fast. Supplies are limited, so call now.